5 and looked tired and worn and slightly dowdy. The two guys at the bar were a lot bigger than medium-sized. Olive skin, dark eyes. Syrians or Lebanese, maybe. The guy on the right was making a sweeping gesture with his hand. It was easy to see it represented a bat plowing through the bottles on the shelf. Then the guy on the left turned to leave. As his partner followed him, he trailed his hand over the nearest table and knocked a plate to the floor. It shattered on the tiles, loud and dissonant. The sandy guy and the dark woman looked away. The two guys walked to the door, heads up, confident. Reacher watched them all the way out to the sidewalk. Then the owner knelt down and started butting the shards into a pile. Reacher slid out of his chair and knelt, squaring his napkin on the tile next to him, and started collecting the debris into it.
When are they coming back? Reacher asked.
An hour.
How much do they want?
A bitter smile.
I get a start-up discount, he said. 200 a week, 4 when the place picks up.
The opera fell away to a minor key aria.
Who were they?
Not Italians, the guy said.
You know an office supply store open late?
Reacher asked.
Broadway, 2 blocks over. Why, you got business to attend to?
Reacher nodded.
Yeah, business, he said.
He stood up and stepped back to his table. He left $40 and headed for the door.
Good luck, he called.
The guy nodded, and the couple watched him go. He turned his collar up and stepped out to the sidewalk. It was dark, and the air was chill with fall. He walked east to the office store, a narrow place packed with bargains. He bought a small labeling machine and a tube of superglue. Then he headed north to Jody's apartment. His four-wheel drive was parked in the garage under her building. He drove back to the restaurant, slowed on the street, and glanced in through the windows. Every single table was empty. Reacher came around the block and parked illegally at the mouth of the alley that ran down toward the kitchen doors. He killed the motor and the lights and fumbled the label machine out of his pocket. Scaring the two guys away was only half the job. What mattered was who they thought was doing the scaring. A concerned citizen standing up for some restaurant owner's rights was going to cut no ice at all. What makes a big impression is an organization. He smiled and started printing. The letters punched through white on a blue plastic ribbon. The first guy's label was about 5 inches long, and then about 4.5 for the second guy. He smiled again and laid the finished ribbons on the seat next to him. They had adhesive on the back under a peel-off paper strip, but he needed something better than that. He unscrewed the cap off the tiny superglue tube and filled the nozzle, ready for action. Then he got out of the car and stood in the shadows, waiting. His mother had told him cities are dangerous places. They're full of tough, scary guys. He had walked around as a teenager, ready and willing to believe her, and he had seen that she was right. People on city streets were fearful and furtive and defensive. They kept their distance and crossed to the opposite sidewalk to avoid coming near him. They made it so obvious he became convinced the scary guys were always right behind him. Then he suddenly realized, no, I'm the scary guy. They're scared of me. He had stopped growing at 15 when he was already 6'5" and 220 pounds. A giant. They're scared of me. It amused him, and he smiled, and people stayed even further away. From that point onward, he knew that for every city person he needed to be scared of, there were 999 others a lot more scared of him. He used the knowledge like a tactic, and the calm confidence it put in his walk and his gaze redoubled the effect he had on people. The two guys came back right on time in a black Mercedes sedan. It parked, and the guys stepped out with their long coats flowing and reached back and slipped baseball bats under their coats and started moving. Reacher pushed off the wall.
In the alley, guys, he said.
They were young, some way short of 30.
Who the hell are you?
The right guy said. The first guy to speak is the dominant half of any partnership, and in a one-on-one situation, you put the dominant one down first. Reacher turned a fraction, blocking the sidewalk, channeling them toward the alley.
Business manager, he said. You want to get paid? I'm the guy who can do it for you.
You got the money?
Sure, Reacher said. 200